Welcome to the Social Currency Podcast with digital marketing experts Jess Jensen and Tuck Ross. With a combined 3 decades of experience, they'll share thoughts on marketing, digital strategy, and social media to get you current quick. Looking to understand Google Analytics or how to optimize CPC? You're in the wrong place. This podcast drives discussion on digital and social strategy and their fundamental role in building your business strategy. In 30 minutes a week, we'll arm you with key talking points to speak with authority and confidence. Now, let's build your social currency.
Welcome back to the Social Currency Marketing Podcast. Thanks for joining us. I'm Jess Jensen, and joining me, as always, is my good friend Tuck Ross. What's going on in your world, Tuck?
Hey, Jess. Good to see you again and hear you again. Welcome back, everyone. And we hope that your 2019 plans are coming along. Maybe you're close to finished, or even if you're just starting. If you need some fresh thoughts, check out episodes 19 and 20, which were the ones right before this one, where we cover the top 14 must-know digital marketing trends for 2019. We had a lot of fun with this. It was actually a really good time for us to distill thinking and looking forward to next year and what we're planning and kind of taking together input from what we already know, where we're thinking, other thought leaders in this space, what we're seeing in terms of the news and the trends, and putting that together for you to really help you understand where your business is at and also understand where the space is going so you can look forward, prepare, act, and also, by the way, build your social currency. So along those lines, we wanted to follow up on the topic of building a social media playbook to help you guide your business and your corporation's social media strategy, planning, execution, and follow-up. So Jess, what's a playbook?
Yeah, so we've all heard the term playbook, but what is it? Well, today's episode's going to deconstruct the guts of a playbook. And, you know, we use playbooks as a tool in marketing, really, to organize our philosophy around a specific topic. So in this case, we're going to focus on social media marketing. And more companies are really following this pattern of establishing and codifying their annual plan in the form of a playbook. So it's really the way in which you do business. So we're going to cover 10 key components of a social media playbook, really to help you get started on your playbook now.
All right. So I love the concept, but first a question that everyone's asking, do I need a social media playbook? And I think we would say the answer for this is a definite yes, because establishing a playbook early on is going to protect, establish your company's reputation in social media. And we've talked a lot about brand reputation in the space, super critical. And one of the things that can help you with this is a playbook. If you see social listening and engagement really as viable channels that you can use to your advantage, then you need a social media playbook to help drive you toward the right and consistent direction. And, you know, even one specific reason that a need for a playbook is clear is that no matter what size of your business, turnover is expected. And you don't want your social media activity to be the victim of personnel attrition. So if you think about that, as people leave, as people are coming in, this playbook is very helpful for purposes of retaining corporate knowledge. All of that hard work detailed in whatever you've kind of put together, but also for easy and consistent onboarding of new team members as your team and your powerhouse is growing.
Yeah, and I would just add that I've always said to the team that I've been a part of, you know, if I get hit by a bus tomorrow, I want you to be able to do everything exactly the same if you choose to do that. And the way in which to your point, to retain that intellectual property, if you will, that knowledge that's been built up across your team, is to write it down and codify it so that folks can carry on whether you're there or not.
Yeah, that's right. So like at your funeral, they'll be, oh, sad, Jess is gone. But good news, we have the social media playbook so we can continue in her legacy.
That's the only legacy I leave. That will be so pathetic. But yes. Yes, that's my eulogy.
That's absolutely why. I mean, that's the first base reason. But it's also because you want these clear and agreed upon processes that really, define engagement in all these different scenarios. Because you have discussed these processes with the departments involved, the playbook really serves as this point of agreement between the team that's managing social media and all the other departments involved, having everyone, you know, join into that and bringing the stakeholders along with you. So with that, Jess, what is our number one on the list that's kicking us off for what needs to be in your social media playbook?
Let's do it. So component number one has got to be your team, right? Just like you would in any presentation, in any performance, you need to introduce the characters. So this first section should really be your team, their roles and responsibilities, and perhaps look to extended team, for example, regional offices that may touch social media, other ancillary teams that may partner with you closely, like content creation or blogging. Outline who those folks are, and channels that they manage, which parts of the business they're related to. And, you know, use photos, titles, Twitter handles, make it feel human so that folks know who to go to for what.
Yeah, I think that's awesome because it really denotes like what the roles and responsibilities, you said, of who to talk to, what to talk to them about. Number two, okay, so ground the playbook in your organization's strategy. This is not something that should be deviant or new. The good news is that in some cases, it's very derivative of what your organization's objectives and goals are. And this is because it's in the service of the broader marketing direction. We're not doing something over in the corner. It's not rogue here. Our goals support and align with the organization's goals. How will social media contribute? What part of the organizations are you supporting? Because it could be sales or also external communications, PR, brand, marketing. Depending on the level of involvement with these groups, you want to make sure that this playbook aligns all those focal points into a place that that really is grounded, again, in that strategy that helps you develop the objectives, the metrics, and KPIs.
Agreed. And I think this is critical too, because sometimes in my experience, when you sit in the marketing communications team, you can fall victim to, you know, doing things that are sort of in service of creative and perhaps not as in service of the business. And from my perspective, the more aligned you are to those business goals and certainly your CMO's goals, the more that everything you say afterward in the playbook is going to feel more legitimate. It's going to feel more thoughtful and the strategy is going to feel more sound. So that's a key section. Number three is looking backward. So talk about last year's wins, perhaps even a 2 or 3 year trajectory. One of the things that comes up a lot when I'm communicating internally is this question of compared to what? So you have this many engagements. So you have this engagement rate, you have this much of a following, you have this many handles, whatever the metric might be, compare that to where you were last year or the year prior to that and illustrate the wins. Talk about what's changed since last year. Perhaps budgets have gone up or down. And that's going to be sort of a telltale sign as to what your strategy may look like and how it may vary from the past. Remind the audience that you're sharing this with how far you've come as a practice and an organization over the last 12 months. And then certainly introduce any new areas of interest or kind of hint at those new areas of interest that may be coming down the pike for the coming year.
Yeah, that's a good call out. Okay, so we've gone over the roles and responsibilities, which is really kind of the who, and then you've got the strategy, which is pointing to the what you need to focus on. The last year's wins, I love that one because it really gives this, you know, this perspective of we are looking at this momentum and we want to build off of what we're doing. And by the way, this also points to the fact that this needs to be a living and breathing document, not something that you build once, you put on a shelf, because it really should be refreshed at least on an annual basis, focused on what you did prior, like you're talking about, and then looking forward to how are you acting going forward. And so I think that's really where number four comes in, focus on measurement. And this, we talked about the objectives, the metrics, the KPIs that go against these different pieces. But we want to make sure that we're properly measuring each of these so we can look at last year, see what we did, define against this year what our objectives, strategies that are following in line with the business strategies, but then also specific strategies for social, what metrics and then the KPIs that are a result of that, and then how do we take action against those? So, you know, I think one thought is that measurement often gets relegated to the last few slides of a presentation. And especially in social, you know, in some cases, it may be more challenging to find the ones that specifically line up to the strategy because there may not be a direct line to sales per se. But you have to look at the whole funnel and think about everywhere from the top level, like we've talked about, of awareness level and brand sentiment and the other things that may be important to other, you know, communication channels or groups like external communications, all the way down through to the bottom of the funnel where sales may have more interest. Thinking about how you measure that success drives decisions along the way. And the goal of brand awareness, of course, is very different than generating leads for the customer development team. So making sure that you have measurement discussions about each piece that needs to be measured and who it matters to is critically important.
Yeah, agreed. And some of the experience I've had has been around the need to measure in different ways for different parts of the business. So that last statement that you made, you know, if you've got perhaps a piece of the company, and many companies have multiple lines of business or multiple P&Ls, if a piece of the company is much higher level and looking to drive brand awareness, and then another piece of the company is totally all about lead gen, right? Like those are wildly different and you're going to have different measurement approaches. One might be about conversion, downloading white papers or getting email signups. One might be more of a brand health study. But regardless, I think capturing your measurement philosophy and really educating your audience as to what matters. And this ties back to that episode that we did about measurement and about metrics. This idea that you can measure so many things in social. And if you don't have a philosophy and you don't have a clear point of view, it just becomes a whole bunch of numbers on a spreadsheet. And it's not actually valuable to anybody. All right. The next section, number 5, is platform strategy. So we've used the word platform quite a bit in various episodes in the past, but just again to reiterate, a platform, when we think about social media, are often the social media channels. So Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn. In China, we've got Weibo, WeChat. Of course, Snapchat's still struggling. Still trying to keep up.
Aww, the little engine that could. We love Snapchat sometimes.
Well, I mean, it's got to be doing something right because everyone else is borrowing from them.
There's nothing left to wring out of it, I think.
Right, totally. So platform strategy gets into this idea that the notion of social media being uniform is almost like saying, all right, I got 3 kids and they're all the same. Well, guess what? They're not. They're totally not. So yes, they are all children. Good. Yes, technically. But they're all short. They share that in common, but they're wildly different. And just like the platforms have certain things in common, many of them have this goal of, you know, connecting people together, you know, quote unquote, building community, being in the middle of news cycles. But there's also a lot of variability, a lot of difference. So we've talked about that in quite a bit of detail with some of our earlier episodes around Facebook versus Instagram, you know, WTF, LinkedIn. So this is your opportunity in this section, number 5 of the playbook, to define the strategy you're going to use for each of the platforms. What does the audience expect when they go to said platform? What has your brand seen success in the past in doing there? What are the demographics and the size of the user base of the platforms? And then what I love to do is show some examples of creative that's performed really well. So perhaps having a slide for each platform with, say, 3 examples of best performing content from the past year, illustrating in a sentence or a short bullet point why, and beginning to draw those patterns for people. So again, you know, an example might be the prominence of video on Facebook over the last couple of years and speaking to the expectation of the audience to see video there. Or you might lean into Twitter really focusing heavily on news cycles and breaking news. And so again, you might illustrate some examples that have worked well if that's your approach. And then lastly, kind of pros and cons. So things that work well on the platforms and things that don't. And again, ideally that those vary a bit. I mean, we know things like short form video works well on all of them, but An example could be something as simple as, you know, organic posts on Instagram can't link out. They have no URL. So,
Sure.
Right. So if you're looking to, you know, drive traffic to your website, Instagram organic is probably not the right approach. So I think just pros and cons, because that education, again, we know so much more granularity probably than most people care to know. And so I think that's your chance to kind of illustrate just a couple of the highlights of what works well and perhaps what to avoid.
Yeah, but I don't think it's a bad thing, right? I think it's each business to their own in this case, but it doesn't hurt to what you're saying that the extra detail in there actually will help, because in a lot of cases, and again, why you and I talk about these things is because there are teams, there are people, there are groups that don't understand maybe how the platforms work or which different pieces are in that. And especially if they're not in it every day, the fact that you can educate a team that's not dedicated to social, but how to use social and what to use social for and what this channel may be best at, where you want to focus on this other thing here or what type of content might be good in this space. It's really thinking about that and enabling that group with this type of information in the playbook that they may not have had before. And that's what's cool about this, is that you do give them that platform strategy and potentially how they can better action their strategy in those platforms.
Yep.
Okay, so we're going to pause there and let those first five in the list sink in and come back to the next five in the next episode. With that, we wanted to close out though with the best practices for a playbook. So what are some of the best practices? One of the first ones we have is to say explicitly why social media matters. Dell actually starts off their playbook with why you should care. Eloqua playbook says that social media works best when there are real people with genuine intentions and quality content behind every profile, tweet, and tag. Having this level setting is important, and it's almost like having a mission statement to the document or kind of why you're operating this space. I think that's really interesting to think about why social media matters to your business and making it clear to the organization about how it can impact what you're doing. Explaining the differences in each platform. I mean, you just touched on this in terms of the platform strategy, but I think various playbooks between businesses show each platform's strengths and weaknesses. You can have a chart that delineates everything from social search to social engagement, social commerce parameters across all these different platforms, and really kind of defining the opportunity not only across the business groups, but also up and down the funnel about where different groups can find value in the mix.
Yeah. And I definitely think that the playbook itself has two different audiences and two different reasons for being. And you touched on this in the notion of why social media matters. The number one is really to codify your plan. So like we were joking around in the very beginning, if we go away, does the team continue to know what their North Star is? So that's number one. But number two is it's a tool for education. It's a way to socialize the values and beliefs and philosophy that you have about social media at your specific company and your specific brand, and educate all the other parts of marketing, which again have varying degrees of knowledge of social media and need to and probably would be interested in learning more, and then also will know how to interact with you and how to think about social for the rest of the fiscal year. So again, part one is codifying your actual strategy for your team. Part two is really education for the broader organization. And we'll talk some more about that in the next episode. So again, be explicit with your do's and don'ts. People love lists. They also love examples of things that have not worked or things that you would not do. One of the things that I recommend here is to incorporate the social media policy, which we had another episode on earlier. So you don't need the entire thing, but take the five or six most important points. You know, for example, if your company is one that believes we don't speak negatively about the competition, create a slide that includes those kinds of bullets so that there's very
Yeah, that's a good
crisp
one.
Don'ts. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, you might think about some sort of model. We've talked about the funnel quite a bit, this notion of moving from high level awareness all the way down to conversion and advocacy. Maybe that is your model. Maybe it's an approach that's thinking about how you use paid media versus not. Maybe it gets into the reasons to have customer care on a different channel. It kind of varies based on your brand and your business, but utilize the playbook to really outline the model. Again, objectives, goals, and how you're going to measure so that there's a framework. I mean, that's the best word for it, a framework that people can refer back to throughout the year. And then we mentioned platform strategy, and we mentioned 7 different platforms, and that's not even including things like executives or social influencers. You could go crazy on just the platform strategy. So, you know, if you're looking for brevity, for example, I often create a practitioner version of the playbook that's really meant for the working team who touches social day in and day out. And then I have an executive version, which is the one that I actually would present in front of audiences outside of my team. You might distill that down to just the 2 or 3 top platforms that you know your brand actually activates and utilizes most to keep it brief.
Yeah, I love that. And I actually was talking with someone this week, and they said, we're just on Instagram. What do you think about that? And I said, you know, knowing where they're at, you know, it's not bad having a single platform if that's where you're primarily getting engagement. And we've talked about there's organic reach there. And for their business, based on what the type of product they have, it actually makes sense. And that's where focusing on the most important platform and not trying to think about how do I execute across 12. If you have a thin staff, focus on the one that's the most important to you and make sure that's equipped and enabled properly, which is what the playbook can do. If you're broader and bigger, go with the larger set and make sure that everywhere you're operating, it's inclusive and comprehensive in terms of where you want to execute your strategy. So, all right, cool. That's the first 5. Like we said, we'll come back next week with 6 and 10. Until then, you can email us any questions about your social media playbook at info@socialcurrencyshow.com. We love your feedback. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/socialcurrencyshow. And whether you're on LinkedIn, Twitter, or Instagram, you can find us as Tuck Ross and Jess Jensen. If you haven't signed up for our newsletter, do it at socialcurrencyshow.com. It's the best way to get your dose of social currency every Monday when we release a new episode.
Yeah, and that is a wrap. It was great talking with you, Tuck, and thanks for listening, everyone out there.
All right, Jess, thanks so much. We'll talk soon.
Bye.
Bye.
You just listened to Social Currency, a podcast with Tuck Ross and Jess Jensen. Like what you hear? Subscribe to Social Currency in your favorite podcast app, and please leave a review on iTunes. Have a question for the show? Want to ask about a specific topic? Email us at info@socialcurrencyshow.com. If we include it in an upcoming episode, we will send you something awesome. Thanks for tuning in, and remember to check out the full show notes with all the links that we referenced at socialcurrencyshow.com.